Hello.
Good evening.
It's good to see each of you this evening, and thanks for the men that did those projects and everybody who came, men and women, for our campus work day. We welcome you here on Palm Sunday weekend, and we ask you to please stand and welcome one another at this time. Good evening, and we welcome, and I would like to say we make our beginning this evening in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us now confess our sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have loved you with our whole heart, not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. renew us and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy and has given his own Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
As we make our way closer to the cross, once again we sing our Lenten Kyrie. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Have your way. We sing, Lord.
Lord, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place.
Have your way.
Have your way.
Fill us with mercy in this place.
Give us with mercy in this place. Give us sweet mercy in this place. Give us sweet mercy in this place. Have your way.
Help us to follow.
Help us to follow in this place. Help us to follow in this place. Help us to follow in this place. Have your way. The
Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good evening and welcome to Trinity, and happy Palm Sunday, and from my house to your house, lots of love. Our first lesson is from Deuteronomy. The Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is none remaining, bond or free. Then he will say, "Where are the gods, the rock in which they took refuge, who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from Philippians and following. Having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, we, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Christ Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And we stand to greet the gospel. Guide my feet while I run this race.
Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race. 'Cause I don't want to run this race in vain.
Guide my mind.
Guide my mind while I run this race. Guide my mind while I run this race. Guide my mind while I run this race. 'Cause I don't want to run this race in vain.
And we end with guide my heart.
Guide my heart while I run this race. Guide my heart while I run this race. Guide my heart while I run this race. 'Cause I don't want to run this race in vain.
The Holy Gospel according to the book of St. John, the 12th chapter. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked Jesus, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus," or they asked Philip. And Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Where I am, there my servant will be. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for the purpose I have come to this hour, Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it would have thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. And Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world has been cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." And he said this to show them by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law and that the Christ would remain forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you might become sons of the light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. So that the word of the spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, "Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, for again Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said all these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him. but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
You may be seated. Such a short song, I wasn't even sure I should have sat down. We're glad each of you are here again this Palm Sunday weekend, and we'll be preaching off the sermon text off of the gospel lesson, a shortened portion of it. Sir, we wish to see Jesus, is what the Greeks came talking to Peter, or talking rather to Philip and Andrew. And as Jesus was told of this, we remember the context earlier in this text, actually, that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead after being in the grave for over 4 days, that he performed many other miracles, and his message and teaching were compelling, changing and challenging, life-changing, demanding, ones full of attention and consideration. We also read earlier that this evening there was a party being thrown in honor of Jesus. And one of the other featured guests was one sitting in her brother's house by the name of Lazarus, whom Jesus has raised from the dead. Here we also see the religious leaders, the Pharisees, were alarmed that Jesus was attracting such a following that they knew that many of the Jews were beginning to believe and to follow Jesus. They thought that they must take matters into their own hands, and instead of just planning to kill Jesus, they now also planned on killing Lazarus, which was proof that he was indeed the resurrection and the life. They had seen, at least for them, enough of this Jesus. How about you? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I could see Jesus? What's your picture of Jesus? Is he the one hanging upon a cross? Or is he the one that's risen from the dead with the sun in the background? Is he the one that holds up his hands and you see his nail-pierced hands and with a big smile on his face? You see indeed that he's alive. What's your picture of Jesus? It'll be great to see him, to talk with him, to get to know him, yes, even more personally than we already do. To see the one who hears and answers our prayers, it'll be wonderful. But I want you to know that on this Sunday, Palm Sunday, the people of this day's text remind us that these were a people of Jesus who ran to the very place that Jesus was going to be entering into Jerusalem, and with great excitement and fanfare, they lined the road, they cut down the palm branches. And as Jesus entered into their path, they also took off their garments, the church or temple-going garments, and they laid them on the pathway so that Jesus, and mounted upon that donkey, would have an honored homage to the new coming king. They cried out, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The crowd that had gathered believed that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the King, the Son of God. And they thought it, by as they said it, Hosanna, they thought that this King was the one that they thought was such a wonderful thing. They were not only knowing of the promise, but they were seeing the promise. And what a wonderful time for them to be alive. They thought now that the kingdom of God would be established in Jerusalem and the reign of God would begin and the Romans would be gone. Over such a time, they thought. Still, in that such of a kingdom, they would live, they would be born, and they would die. An imperfect life and an imperfect world. That's all they hoped for. There would still be sickness and death and wars and rumors of wars. But Jesus had a kingdom that went even deeper. That's what he wanted to establish. And Jesus says to these Greeks who came and wanted to see him, they said, Jesus said, the hour has come that the Son of Man must be glorified. Amidst all of this celebration of raising Lazarus from the dead, the dinner party thrown in his behalf, the perfumed feet of Jesus being wetted and wiped with Mary's hair, as she was praising God, what does Jesus say? Leave her alone. She's preparing and anointing my body for burial. That's what Jesus was speaking of, his death. He had commented on Mary's attention, even costly perfume. She was anointing his body for burial. Jesus told those who had come to see him that the time had come for him to be glorified, to be exalted, to be lifted up, to give honor and praise to Jesus for what he was about to do, to save, to rescue, and to redeem us. The entire world, in fact. Jesus is the promised seed. Jesus is the one who tells us unless a wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. As a boy in Iowa, I remember planting a garden with my mom. And we dug holes for each one of the potatoes and we'd cut it in half and, you know, put the eyes up so they could see to see the sky. That's what my mom always told me. And so all that, those roots that would develop through the death of that potato, that seed, you might say, life sprung up in just a few short weeks, it seemed like. And soon all those places that were just clumps of dirt, a mound, you might say, in the middle of our garden, started to see some green. And from there, a vine grew. And from there, potatoes were buried underneath the earth. Not one, not just a half a potato, but an entire crop in each one of those little mounds. And so when we start to think about what Jesus was saying, unless a grain of wheat, a kernel of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. You may remember that Pastor Wirtz asked on my installation, he said to me, he asked, as he held up a potato, he said, what do you see? A potato? I said, no. I said, a harvest of potatoes. Because that's really what Jesus was talking about. He was saying, unless I die and am buried into the ground, I'm only a single human being, the Son of God, though I be. My life, which is, has a meaning and a purpose to save the world, unless I die, will not accomplish its task. So, as a wheat kernel falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Jesus is the promised seed of Eve and Adam who would crush the head of the tempter, the serpent that tempted Adam and Eve in the garden. He is the promised seed of Abraham in whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Jesus is the firstborn of the dead who was that seed cast into the ground and who brought forth life to all who would believe in his name. His death is the seed that will bring life to many. He is the one. For since by man, Adam, came death, Scripture tells us, and so by sin, man, Jesus Christ, also would bring life to many. Through his death, many would be raised, would be made alive. His being lifted up upon the cross and suffering and dying, and then would be the payment for our sins. Would be his bearing, would bring dying as the seed of our salvation, springing up, rising, a resurrection of the grave, bearing much fruit, bringing forth life, a harvest of life to all who would believe. This was God's rescue plan. This was Christ's mission, and this is why Christ came. I find it fascinating that in all the Old Testament festivals, there's one called the Festival of First Fruits. And it is to be celebrated on a specific Sunday in the church and in the temple. And it was always celebrated on a Sunday called the Nisan, on the Sunday of the 16th. And as a result, this festival is when the Jewish people would bring forth their first fruits of those seeds that have been cast into the ground, buried, and the harvest of the first fruits would be brought to the temple and given to glory of God. When do they celebrate that? On Sunday. Isn't it fitting that the seed of Abraham, the seed of the woman, and the seed of our salvation is that which was cast into the ground and on Easter Sunday was raised from death to life as the first fruits of those who had been born from the dead? Jesus' kingdom goes farther. It abolishes death. It brings life, even eternal life, 2 Timothy 1:10. And Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and we have Lazarus in the room, Exhibit A. And on Easter morn, we see Jesus, nail-pierced hands and feet, who would appear before his disciples, and Mary, and the Emmaus disciples. We also read in this text that Jesus would cast judgment upon this world and has even cast out Satan, the ruler of this world. And in Romans we read that we are overwhelming conquerors. Overwhelming conquerors over life in this world. That nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. Nothing. Nothing in this world or the world to come. Not life, not death, not nakedness or sickness or peril or the sword. Nothing. And Jesus says, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. And he said this to show by what kind of a death he was going to die. It was a crucifixion where he would be lifted up on Calvary's cross. And as he looked down upon those who had condemned him, who had crucified him, he called out to his heavenly Father and he said, Father, forgive them. And upon that mass of people, he also saw you, and he also saw me. And he prayed, Father, forgive them. Forgive us. And he said this to show what by kind of death he was going to die. I also believe it speaks of his resurrection, whereby he would die certainly, but he'd be raised from death to life on the third day. Because Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, had paid for our sins. And by the power of God Almighty, that resurrection power, raised Christ from death to life. And that is the power of God that is at work in you and in me. In the book of 2 Corinthians we read, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Christ has abolished death, 2 Timothy. Yes, we believe all of this as people who are drawn close to him. Today, the world is filled with 7.7 billion people. And Christianity is the largest of all world religions, with 2.2 billion people adhering to the beliefs of Christianity, of the cross, of the forgiveness of sins that are won only by Christ, and the promise of a kingdom where there's life everlasting. But we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of people to reach. A message that must be shared. A church that is on a mission and has a purpose. Jesus said, whoever loses his life whoever loves his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life in this world for my name's sake will actually have eternal life. In the Greek, it's really a fascinating play on two words. Whoever loves his life in this world will lose it. The Greek word for losing is luo, and it means release. So let me read that again. Whoever loves his life will lose it, or it will be released, it'll be taken away. But whoever luo releases his life in this world, I could say as a living sacrifice, as an ambassador of Christ, will actually save his life. As we see our life as a meaning and a purpose of being released for the Lord's work, to do the work of redemption, proclamation, and to be able to share that with people, our family and our friends and our co-workers and all the people that we can come in contact with, that there is hope for a better kingdom and a world that can be made better through belief in Jesus Christ, where our life, like His, being sown as a seed into the life of other people, can really bring forth new fruits and new life and can expand into all kinds of places. You remember my story of my daughter-in-law who, sitting on our couch, said, "I'm so happy I know Jesus. I feel like the woman at the well who was so excited. I want to run and tell everybody." But she says, "Mommy and Daddy, we didn't have that when I was growing up as a little girl. I want you to have that joy too." And with tears in everyone's eyes, the good news of Jesus Christ was shared. I know there's such things happening in your world and in your life with people who were far away from the faith, yet who've been drawn near, because this text says, "When I'm lifted up, I will draw all people unto myself." Don't be surprised when God does that with someone you know. And you can be a part of releasing your life for service to your Savior. In Jesus' name. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Please join me as we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Lord and Savior Jesus, we do give you thanks. Thank you for becoming the seed of our salvation, the promised seed of Abraham, and the one who would crush the head of the tempter, Satan. We thank you, Lord, for being the seed also for us that brings life to all. We thank you for conquering death and the grave, the devil and damnation. We thank you that you've gone ahead now, having paid the price for our sins upon Calvary's cross, that you've now gone to prepare a place for us, and you will come again to receive us unto you. May you, O Lord, help us now to loose our lives, to release them into your service. Help us, dear Lord Jesus, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for our K-8 teachers and students. May you help them, O Lord, to find places for our students to find new places of education. We thank you for our teachers as well, asking you to provide places of employment for them to use their talents and skills. Lord, may you bless them and open such doors in a timely fashion, utilizing their gifts and their talents, but allowing them especially, students and teachers, to be a shining light of your love in the world in which they will teach and be educated as students. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for all who do not know you as Lord and as Savior. We ask, O Lord, that you would open the doors, that you would open their eyes, that you would open and help them to receive the promise of your salvation and to see the fruits of all who believe in you, and to see and to believe that you are indeed the one who brings the better kingdom into our world and into our lives. Lord, in your mercy, help us to be living witnesses, ambassadors, sons and daughters in service to you, in Jesus' name. Now, O Lord, help us as we pray that prayer which you taught us. We ask, O Lord, before that we would be able to, on this Palm Sunday, say with those who gathered that first day, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. We now gather our offering.
The sons of the earth, how beautiful.
the long dusty road and the hill to the cross, how beautiful, how beautiful, how beautiful is the body of Christ. How beautiful the heart that bled, that took all my sin and bore it instead. How beautiful the tender eyes that chose to forgive and never despise. How beautiful, how beautiful, how beautiful is the body of Christ. Beautiful the feet that bring the sound of good news and the love of the King. How beautiful the hands that serve the wine and the bread and the sons of the earth. How beautiful, how beautiful, how beautiful is the body of
Father, I adore you.
Father, I adore you. Lay my life before you. I love you. Jesus, I adore you.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is
truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, you laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Amen.
remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup. And when he had supped, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto them, saying, Take and drink ye all of it. For this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink this, do it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And we sing our Lamb of God. As a call and response. Lamb of God.
Lamb of God.
You take away.
You take away.
The sin of the world.
The sin of the world.
Have mercy on us.
Have mercy on us.
Lamb of God.
Lamb of God.
You take away.
You take away.
The sin of the world.
The sin of the world.
Have mercy on us.
Have mercy on us.
Lamb of God.
Lamb of God.
You take away.
You take away.
The sin of the world.
The sin of the world.
Grant us peace.
Grant us peace.
Grant us peace.
Grant us peace. Finding leads to losing, losing lets you find. Living leads to dying, and life leaves death behind. Losing leads to finding, there's nothing more to say. No one will find life another way. We're going on a journey. We do not know the way. The road is dim before us. We wander day by day. Yet there is one who calls us to follow and obey. One who himself is the living way. And he tells us that finding leads to losing. Losing lets you find. Living leads to dying, and life leaves death behind. Losing leads to finding. There's nothing more to say. No one will find life another way. Listen now. We're going on a journey to the cross. We know we'll suffer hardship. We've suffered so much loss. Yet we know one who leads us, goes before us day by day. He's our truth, our life, the living way. And here's what he tells us. He tells us that finding leads to losing, but losing lets you find. Living leads to dying, and life leaves death behind. Losing leads to finding. There's nothing more to say. No one will find life another way. And on this week, as Holy Week begins, we make our way to the cross. But we don't have to go to the cross as people with fear. For we've already been baptized. And in baptism we say we have died with Christ, that we might rise with him. For Christ tells us that no one will find life any other way. I invite you to sing with me. Finding leads to losing, it says.
Finding leads to losing.
Losing lets you find.
Losing lets you find.
Living leads to dying.
Living leads to dying.
Life leaves death behind.
Life leaves death behind.
Losing leads to finding.
Losing leads to finding.
There's nothing more to say.
There's nothing more to say.
No one will find life another way.
No one will find life another way.
Listen now. We're going on a journey. We do not know the way. The road is dim before us. We wander day by day. Yet there is one who calls us to follow and obey. Join him on the cross. He's the living way. We sit, let's stand and sing. Finding leads to losing.
Finding leads to losing.
Losing lets you find.
Losing lets you.
That's right. Living leads to dying.
Living leads to
dying. But don't worry. Life leaves death behind.
Life leaves death behind.
Losing leads to finding.
Losing leads to finding.
There's nothing more to say.
There's nothing more to say.
No one will find life.
No one will find life another way.
And we end with this little song. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good.
He's so good.
He's so good to me.
Christ is the way.
Christ is the way.
Christ is the way.
Christ is the way.
That's right.
Christ is the way.
He's so good to me.
He's so good to me.
David, if I could have you play in the background. Lord, hear the prayers that have been requested for the following.
Most gracious Father in heaven, we lift up the following for your care. For your servant Mike, we ask that you place your healing hand upon him and guide the physicians so they can identify the cause of several critical health complications he is experiencing. Encourage Mike and his family in the assured knowledge that all things are possible if asked in your holy name. For Kay in Tomball, Texas, who is experiencing severe health issues, grant her healing after the first initial surgery. Guide the physicians in accomplishing two upcoming surgeries at the end of this month. Give Kay and her family encouragement and let the issues be resolved without complications. Lord, we praise your name and offer thanks for the good test report Nancy received. Grant the plan for healing is guided by your holy hand. We pray all of this in these requests in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.
Got several announcements. This is the final week to sponsor Easter lilies in remembrance of someone or just to thank God for his blessings. Sponsor the Easter lilies for our sanctuary upcoming Easter, and forms are in the narthex. Also remember, we have Holy Week and Easter services Maundy Thursday, 12, 10, and 7 p.m. Good Friday, 12, 10, and 7 p.m. And then Easter Eve, next Saturday, at 6. And for the Easter morning worship, sunrise on the front lawn over there at 6:30. Then worship in the sanctuary, 8, 9:30, and 11. The youth and families will be serving a pancake breakfast in the fellowship hall from 0700 to 11 Sunday, and all the proceeds will go to help with the National Youth Gathering expenses. If you've been thinking about inviting one special person to church, especially this time of the year, if you have someone specific in mind, and on your way out, pick up an invitation and some of those peeps to share as an invitation. And then after Easter, let us know how the invitation went. Planning is underway for the Trinity's 100th anniversary in September. If you'd like to take part in that final planning committees, helping with small groups, working on a task, getting quotes, running errands, sharing ideas, please contact Chanda in the church office. Also, be aware that the school and offices at Trinity will be closed on Good Friday and Easter Monday. Also, next Friday, after Easter at Longhorn Steakhouse there at 50, where the old Sears used to be. The Owls, older, wiser Lutherans, that's what they call it, are having their luncheon at 11:30. If you're interested, contact Mrs. Gordon, and she's got her name in the bulletins too. And Audrey, we'd love to have you show up. It's a lot of fun.
It is. It is fun. Yeah. I do want to just say thank you to everybody who's helped out today at the work day. And we just got a lot of things done, including the Ring doorbell or Ring camera. And so we're just very thankful for all the work that was done, and thank you. Glad to see you tonight. God's blessings throughout this week, and please stand as we sing our final hymn.
And in this Lenten season, we sing our spirituals, and here's our final spiritual. Before next week, we have our Easter celebration. It says, "This train is bound for glory. This train is bound for glory. This train is bound for glory. This train is bound for glory. Children, get on." Let's sing that again. This train is bound.
This train is bound for glory. This train is bound for glory. This train is bound for glory. Children, get on board.
No more weeping and a wailing.
No more weeping and a wailing. No more weeping and a wailing. No more weeping and a wailing. Children, get on board.
This train is bound for freedom.
This train is bound for freedom. This train is bound for freedom. This train is bound for freedom. Children, get on board.
And finally, no more weeping.
No more weeping and a wailing. No more weeping and a wailing. No more weeping and a wailing. Children, get on board.
Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.
Thanks be to God.